Friends, tonight we are continuing with our studies on the Old Testament characters that we started last month. Last month, we talked about Joshua, who is a faithful warrior. We are going to continue that today, and tonight our subject is obedience, is courage, obedience, and trust in God's promises. And you may have sign up to us or yeah this year, this year last month, you know. I can't say the best take old testament a profony be near come massive. Now yes, if he said whatever promise God gave to the Old Testament characters, if you believe in Christ, that promise is also for you. The beer that go on kafa or more and more announced out there only and sent or a form we now send the most would be that promise not my account. So we'll see how through the courage and then obedience and trust in God, how God used what's his name again, Joshua, to perform great wonders. We have many, many lessons to learn from this. Because, like I said, they were men like us. They were not special. They were not angels. Why did God do that for them and he can't do it for us? It depends on our courage, our obedience, and our trust in the word of God. So last month, we learned about facing crisis in future. You know the story. Moses was leading them from Egypt to Canaan. They crossed the Red Sea. They've done a whole lot of things. Now Moses was about to die. And then Joshua will have to take over. He was like following Moses. So now he has to take over. And you know, to take over such a big thing is very, very fearful, such a journey. But then we'll see how God encouraged him. You know, say Moses in an old is there for the name every Egypt, every single Canaan. And now you say the Moses, a womb, and I will be womb. And you know, Joshua and then every take over. Now say the if you have to be aware of it will be a womb, and you have to go home. And so quite a couple of fast, so a chair, no say, be known and numb. It's in the ministry. Ebe hu ense mo nyakopɔ ka kye no na meka sɛ mo ka kye no no ɔka kye yɛn so yɛsɔ yɛ free yɛ bɔne mu ɛna wɔ bɛ yi yɛn ɔde ɛkɔ heaven ɛna yɛsɔ yɛ wiase mu ama ne hu nyinaa yɛ bɛ pɛ tidi ba ne nyinaa mu no wakyerɛ sɛ ɔne yɛ ne wɔ titi kudi na asɛm no so a wɔn nso sɛdeɛ ɔyɛ ma Moses ɛne Joshua no ɔbɛyɛ the same thing ano here even you know we are talking about courage, obedience, and trust in God's promises. Why didn't God allow Moses to take them to Canaan? Because of disobedience. Because of disobedience. So that's why we are talking about obedience. When you obey God, God will use you to perform great miracles. This is what we are not seeing, and people are using fake miracles as if they are not even miracles. We'll see what is a miracle from this account. Moses, God had to kill him at a point in the journey because he told him in Numbers chapter 20 there, he told him to speak and water will come. He didn't believe and he hit the rock. That was his disobedience. God's word is very powerful and very serious. We don't have to joke with it. When whatever God says is what we must do. You know we are weak people, but we try as much as possible to obey God's way, and then we'll see his wonders in our lives. Moses disobeyed, and God said, no, we are not going to see Canaan. Joshua would rather do it. So in the previous character, the overall principle that we learned was that believers, as we face challenges in our future, we have nothing to fear, but everything to look forward to, because we have the God who has control over everything. We said that nobody knows tomorrow. I give so many examples, but then we have somebody who knows tomorrow, who is omniscient, and that is God, the creator of the universe. In our time, we have Jesus Christ, God in person, God who who came in the form of a man. So even if we are facing the future, we have nothing to fear. Last month, I said, who call, even we are a young person, who call a human being, and I said, we'll be too kind, who take this step with me in your life? There's anxiety. If you can cry, and so, and someone has come to catch a Joshua, you know, and my name is Drew, and my no call, maybe I'll offer say, and the same thing, we all face challenges, but like I'm saying, we should never, never fear, but have courage of faith in the God who is faithful and also is all-knowing. Let's see what God said to Joshua at that time, and by extension, to all of us in our life that we are living now. He said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto thee, as I said unto Moses. Or sit baby our nine BCBR with the bemon. And I said, we'll call baby a winning one, and we'll soon be in the Kremlin with a back or two. And you can call a cassette or say, would you call baby our nine BCBR with the bemon? And that's what he said to Joshua. And then he said that there shall not any man be able to stand before thee in all the days of your life. Obedience means now when you are seeing now. You can imagine, throughout your life, nobody can stand before you. It is God who is saying this. And by extension, he's saying it to us. If you really believe in him and you obey his word, no one can stand before you. You will never fear witches or demons or whatever people are talking about. Because the God of all creation, the most powerful being, is behind you. And that's what he said to Joshua. He said, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee in all the days of your life. And he said, as I walk with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee. What he said, me knew him more. I will never fail thee. And who is saying this? God. Look at what he said again. He wants to know to say that I will never fail thee nor forsake thee. The same thing Paul referred to when God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's God saying to us. And he said it to us, we believe it. But the condition is that we obey him. We follow his word. Then he goes on to say, be strong and of a good courage. See the same courage I'm talking about. Nyakukudro, yadin, nanya akukudro. For unto these people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I have swore unto your fathers to give them. Or see, how any panel of the case this is what God told Joshua before even the journey. Now, when I can come back, we are sure. At least, every man will have to draw answer. Or be courageous, have courage, and go. Because he said, the land which I swear, So he can't fail. Because he swore that he will give the land to them. Okay, and like I said, in our lives we all face obstacles, either spiritual or psychological or moral and physical. Yes, we have to share money. I say, oh, and I say, soon soon, and I say, yeah, you're doing junimu, and I say, yeah, you our moral life, and then physically, we all face challenges. Sometimes the basic assem, sometimes the bear, you're real, sometimes the bear, you're real, if we share with me in heaven. But our catcher will say, in all these things, he will take you through. That's what God is saying. He's saying to Joshua, like I said, all the Old Testament characters, whatever God said to them, he's saying to us, if you are a true believer of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, obstacles and difficulties, by all means, we will face them, but we can easily go through because of who has promised us. But to face them, we need confidence. You need faith. What confidence do you need? The confidence is that God is in control. And God will mark out your path even as you move forward in faith. That's why we always say that when we talk about faith. Faith is believing in what God has said. It's not what you think that you must get. Or because you want. And yes, you say, when you got the GDR. Yeah, if you got the GDR, you will give me a shame and say, can we? How? I bet you won't end up or whatever. So you didn't know any credit. GDN will create a new GDN. Like he's saying to Joshua, Joshua, promise what the man when he's saying or GD. And yes, or no one I can say because they call K 19, you know. GD SM they call K 9. And by all means I will get there. Oh. He's saying because Nyakupon has promised, so I know I will get there. And that is what we call faith. Faith is believing in what God has said. And he and some of you see everything me I go through all our problems, you know. We need courage. The courage to make a plan. To say we have to draw first. In the first place, I didn't have to go back and meet me here. And second, I want to draw a plan. So we see how Joshua had to draw his plan, following God's word by word, and we see what happened. So you need courage to make a plan. You need to trust the Lord and then move forward. But you move forward with wisdom and still dependence on God, on what God has said to you. As we read in chapter 1, he says, he was giving the land to him. No man could stand against him. He will be with him as he was with Moses, and that he yet should be courageous and be strong and go for it. And this, like I said, is very, very encouraging to all of us in all life difficulties, regardless of whatever it is. If you are a young person here, I'm sure you also be thinking, what is your future going to be? Give your life to Christ sincerely, serve him sincerely, and then you will see how he will take you through life. So now we come to our own passage for today. Now, as I said, the time has come for the Israelites to face their biggest challenge yet, the crossing of Jordan. And then they'll be going to Canaan, and they are also going to fight. It's a battle. Life is war, as we always say. But then God will make a sign for you right from the beginning for you to know that even though there are battles, even though there are wars, there's no need to fear. He will take you through. So now it is time for them to move to Jericho. And we all know, even after crossing the Jordan, they have a huge task. You know how fortified their wall was. And he's saying that I will break down that wall for you to go through. Oh, say apart from say on the cross to Jordan, on the cross to Crevia, Afena, on the cross to Jericho, first we're not capable. Na Bible chira, any first we get to, any the room the navy has been, put me crying for those that they break me down, because that was what was protecting them. But God was going to use Joshua for them to break it down and strike the people inside. And remember, apart from Caleb and Joshua, most of the people that Joshua was with, they didn't have experience of all these things. I'm sure they can only remember their walk in the wilderness for the last 40 years. And most of them have not experienced God's powerful deliverance as he did to the Red Sea. See, the same thing happened. He opened the Red Sea for them to pass through. The American said, if I don't know Joshua, no, I'm apart from Caleb, and no, I know Joshua. No, I know, no, I'm going to go to Ancasa and Kita Mudieno. No, and this is what I mean. He said, oh, no, I'm going to go to any other Bria or the Kaya. If you're any other, you say, you're going to go to Momina because of his obedience. If you want to go back for them, now I'm going to go to any other. Even though they might have heard. So now, the land that God has promised to give to them is before them. All they need to do is to cross the Jordan and then fight Jericho. And I'm sure this will call them a big amount of fear. I feel that I'm going to go to the same way to conquer Jericho. It's the end of the year. But at the same time, you know, I'm very excited. I say, I'm to team very young, they'll be excited in anticipation that in the long run, all their suffering from the wilderness now is going to end. Now they are going to go to Canaan. And it's the same thing with us. Canaan is our heaven. It's in a bedroom, maybe nobody who's afraid yet. Yes, you know, you have to go to the fire, aqua heaven. Now, if we are seeing, you know, you better answer. It is not my desire to be courageous and have faith. So they will by all means be excited, but there will still be some fear, because now they will be happy because their days at the wilderness is coming to an end. They are about to cross over there into Canaan, the promised land, and this will be the beginning of a whole new life. I feel they almost best at the cry, they don't free and for soon over 40 years, almost so fast be able be a cow near the day. I feel they start or being yano a big chat. Nafidi omu maybe I'm so now let's see how the courage and the trust and the obedience come in. From verses 1 to 13, you know. When you have Joshua and then call for Omudina Copa, so we have to draw and then sponsor a domo, a domo, a book of him. Is the energy a lesson for you now? How do we face challenges? How do we face challenges? It all depends on God. So, in that case, we need to be prepared by God. To face your challenge, you need to be prepared by God. God must give you a heart to be prepared for the challenge. And that is what we see in from verses 1 to 13. It says, early in the morning, Joshua, he led the people of Israel to the river Jordan, where they stayed for 3 days before crossing the river. And all that time was the time of preparation and following instructions. And remember, there were more than 2 million people. 2 million people crossing a river. It's not a small thing. And I will show you later on, at that time of the year that they were going to cross the Jordan was a time when winter was over and all the snow had melted and they had entered the river. So Jordan was flooded. Suddenly, a finished group, maybe a winter. It's a winter, no, which is a winter, but it's a baby, it's snow near the ice. I drops. But the winter no connect a yano bar. Have a nanny. Tina the nanny from the mountains no abeshi so no but it's so na yiri about 10 times the normal size. And that's the one you're going to cross. So they have to be prepared by God. And you can imagine 2 million people and echo crosses are it's a adequate, but with God all things are possible. But it is so difficult. If it wasn't for God, for the human capabilities, nobody could do that. They know there's no way they can cross that river with 2 million people and how. But we see that with God, all things are possible. So now let's see the preparation. How did they prepare? First, he gave instructions concerning the Ark of the Covenant from verse 3 to 6. And the officers said, was it when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, and the priest, the Levite, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. No, 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 no. Obia will be your one. What is the move? Who said? Because of the Ark of the Covenant now. Nichim minim na adakabi. Ah, enuna. Onyakupo ni 2 minim nimenye. Enema yomunu na. Moses, law no koko GN. Sa abora na na or the law no gusuman. Any ahmana or the bo si muna si in a pile. So any salimen ni gu akim. Eti eya kupankasa. Enna de se okumwa or wasa akim. Dana koye. Before then na clouds, any fire, and na illidium. Where the ark of the covenant. Sa akim would go so many ekun. So we see how the instructions concerning the ark is and the example for all of us. So he said, when you see the ark of the covenant with the Lord your God and the priest, the Levite bearing it, then ye shall remove from your places and go. See how they are preparing to go and cross the river. Like I said, previously it was the cloud and the fire, but this time not that. You have to follow the Ark of the Covenant, which is carried by the Levitical priest. God killed him. And it's a lesson for all of us not to joke with the word of God. Because the ark represented God. God with them. And that will be their signal that when they see that, they must move. Now, like I said, the ark, it contained the two stone tablets of the Ten Commandments, a golden jar of manna. You see, the manna is free, and then Aaron's rod, that burden. All this symbolize God's law, God's provision, and the authority. So, note it, because we'll come to it later on. And as churches, and as even as individuals, we have lessons to learn from these instructions about the ark. We have so many lessons that we can learn. The first one is that in everything that we do, we must do with the guidance of the word of God. Say a sorry, and not say a nipa. You can get so many people, but God's power will never be there. Because you have to let the word of God guide you. And remember, when Moses was alive, he told Joshua, he said that, don't let the word of God depart from you. Or catch here, Moses, I said, we will not catch here, Joshua said, when I walk on, and many of us say, empower, hold that. Always, be aware of and refer to the word of God. We have a similar thing in Psalm 119, verse 1, when he said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. In verse 4, they were given instructions that they should have a significant distance between themselves and the ark. Look at what it says. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. And why did he say, why were they saying that there must be about 2,000 cubits feet between them and the ark? Why that is instruction? I didn't know say, Omma ark, Omma a finding term, 2,000 cubits. And Sana, Omma Ebu, the ark, any of Omma names are. And here, there are, I'll give you three factors that come to mind. Why this separation between the ark and the people? We look at the spiritual side. The people that have changed the entire the separation between the ark, the people and the ark, remind them that God is utterly holy. You see, always remember that God is holy, holy, holy. We are sinful creatures. That's like I said in the morning, we have to give reverence to God, no matter who you are. Whether you are archbishop or whoever you are a sinful creature. God is holy, holy, holy. We can never be holy like God. So there always have to be a distance between us and God. That is the lesson. So spiritually, the separation between the people and the earth reminds them that God is utterly holy and they were sinful. So they must maintain a respectful distance between themselves so that they don't trivialize the act. And it's a lesson to us. We don't have to trivialize the word of God. We should know that it is authority, the final authority in everything we do, as churches and also as individuals. And they must show great reverence and great respect to the word of God and the presence of God. That is why when we come to church, we always talk about entertainment in the church. You have come before the holy, holy God. There must be reverence. You can't come and stand before God and be joking, dancing and all over. That's why we don't agree with those who dance in churches. We come to talk about serious things. And that is the example that we are giving here. They must keep the distance that they might know that God is ahead of us. We are sinful and He is holy, holy, holy. And this same thing was said in before their time in Exodus 19, verse 12, and then 23, and then 34, and 24. In verse 12, he said, "And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourself that ye go not up unto the mount, or touch the border of it. Whoever touches the mount shall be surely put to death." That time when God was going to speak to them, God calls Moses to the top of the mountain, and he said that nobody should come there or even touch the down part of the mountain. Anybody who does that will be put to death. You see how serious it is. And now people are saying that they are hearing God's voices. When even Moses, who was equipped by God, who was the greatest prophet of all, said when he's coming, if you come alone, he should not bring, nobody should even touch the edge of the mountain. Because they can't bear the voice of God, no human being, unless you are properly equipped by God before you can even hear God's voice. He said, "Take heed that ye go not up into the mount or touch the border of it. Whoever touches the mount shall be surely put to death." Then verse 23. And Moses said unto the Lord, "The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, you have charged us, saying, Set bounds about the mount and sanctify it." When it comes to verse 24, "And the Lord said unto him, Away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee, but let not the priest and the people bring through to come up unto the Lord, lest he bring forth upon them." You see, even though we have intimacy with God, so when you come and social with him, I don't know, still more BFM for us, and after on financial income for us. Now, yeah, you can say, Nyakopo, you didn't know intimacy, because you didn't know, you didn't hear about, because you see, so obey a believer, he dwells in you. We know that. But that doesn't mean that you are like him. No, he is holy, 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 and we are half as far from him. So we have to give that reverence. And then, that is the spiritual side. And then practically, it also allows the people to see the way to go. If they were so close to the ark, they wouldn't see the way to go. So that distance will also let them see the way to go, as it is said in verse 4, so that they can have a clear view of the priest ahead. They must be able to see them. And then, in the same way, Christians must also be able to see the authority of all that the church does. And the lesson that we learn from it is that, as they say, "Yes, no." If we say, "I'm sorry," the BIA will prove from the scriptures. That's why when we come here, we read the scriptures all that before we pick our topic. "Okay, I'm sorry," be now talk only be now kind of or not a sign or "I'm sorry." They must be able to prove whatever they are. People must see, not even they must see that this is coming from the word of God. That's the lesson that we learn from here. That it is not the priest who is just saying whatever he wants to say, but what he said comes from God, so that we know that this is the authority of God. That is why we have our Bible studies, we have our teaching services, that we teach what we do from the scriptures, and we teach what we don't do also from the scriptures. All these things the people must know. Otherwise, not enough story. So, who can sorry be? I don't know. So, for no big now, or no car, or cassa, now, or ultimate chat, or can maybe a true Bible. It is not church. And that is the example we are seeing here, so that the people can see, they can see the ark and the priest, and then follow them. The same way, we must also see the authority of the word, and then follow it. We can also explain to other people why we don't do what people do. So that is the other lesson that we learn. The next thing that we learn is that it will also help to prevent the people from stumbling. Remember, I said there were about 2 million people. And they say, "Oh, my master, this and now, ma, if you get here, if you go and answer, Ama, they wouldn't know their way through. Because in the first place, the place that they were going, they were not familiar to the place. Geographically, they don't know the area. They are going there for the first time. So there must be a distance so that they can see their way through. And then, spiritually too, it is also unfamiliar with them. So they need to depend on and trust the Lord so that they can venture. Because remember, they were going to a pagan country. So they need the true guidance of God. So the Ark of the Covenant symbolized God's presence among them, his people. So the people must keep that distance between them. And in verse 5, we see another of Joshua's instructions to the people. What does he say? He says, sanctify yourselves. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. See, when Joshua said, Mama won't take, Muni Muni, the Radi Ebeye and Amadie, Ewo Muntem. Sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. So when Joshua said this, even though they have heard, but they didn't know exactly the kind of wonder he was talking about. And he never told them until going towards verse 13, but he told them what was going to happen. That they were going to cross the Jordan. Like I said, it was flooded, full. But then the instructions that he was going to give them, if they follow it, they will see wonders. So that's why he says, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. So what do they mean by sanctify themselves? To cleanse themselves naturally and spiritually from anything that will defile them. Anything that will not be pleasing to God, they must not do. And then they can keep their relationship with God. So they must sanctify themselves because God was going to do wonders. So they need to separate themselves from the sinful attitude of the people around them and be truly God's people. And one lesson that we also learn from that, as churches and as individuals, it means for us to see wonders in our lives, we must be holy. The apostle of Charlie said, "Yeah, you know, so no. And some even when you go on to mean the power, oh, your breath, woman. Yes, we say, come, come. Holiness before blessing. That's the condition. If you want to get God's blessings, you must be holy. That's what he's saying here. Otherwise, you will never see the wonder. So the sanctification is because of the wonder which God is going to perform. And like I said, what is going to happen, the people will know. And I will explain why God did all this miracle. Why would God do all these things? First, he has said that the people of Israel, like I said, some of them didn't have an experience. But God has to authenticate Joshua. And they say, "Oh, didn't want to answer." Say, "Yes, only in a nam." The bear of the It needed signs and wonders. Even when it was there, it was only done by the apostles because they were coming to write the scriptures. So God gave them power to perform miracles. It's not like today. Today, when they say they are doing signs and wonders, where are we going to write them? What are they going to tell us beyond the Bible? So the better be chair is there. Sanya go on dear or ye. I think I bet you on my dear or ye. Now all ye know, not all ye say, or the show, the part. Or ye man, but now use that for now, or many Joshua, no one who say, Nakupon Joshua and Namapa. No more you need to say, there be a thing beer of a Kabyan. Or be just let everyone say, oh, can't say, you'll be a Kabyan, because Oma who sing a coupon and then in and now. It is because they know, or yes, I want this, and I mean, my dear, or so to betray. Because nobody is going to write the Bible again. Omo ya ko omo pa so many miracles. No omo na ebe cho Bible. Na o ke Bible mu a wo kwa. Omo kan omo ka to marketing ho na omo say as e obi a ya ko on. Obi a ba ji aka me die no. Sign the miracles e be di wish. No. No o ka about the apostles. Those that he himself called and worked with him and they saw him going. They are the ones that he gave them power to perform miracles. The same thing. Joshua he had enough to say. Obi a ko for I am miracle. Or say, oh yeah, no, they are chasing Joshua. I mean, no, so the people will believe him. And the same thing, all of us, if we want God's miracle in our life, we will see it. There are some things that happen that people call miracles, but they are not miracles. They are God's providences. If you are, what's wrong with you? You be different. We need to have some fire. Or how do we get this car? We do a miracle. It's not a miracle. It's God's providence. Because a miracle or a sign and wonder is something that science cannot explain. Adia yeti me entiasi. Naturally, entisa. Any sense of science and wonder. Element of the people who are not going to be able to do that. It's a no, those are not signs. This is what we call signs and wonders. Something that science cannot prove why it happened. And there are acts that can only be performed by God. It's only God who can do that. We have a similar example even before this. The ten plagues, when King Pharaoh was not allowing them to go, we saw how God plagued him. The ten plagues. And then the passion of the Red Sea, I've talked about that already. Those are miracles. That you look at a sea, if you're a poet, that way, now they are back, and if you want buy, you know, as if they are fabled, but I am correct. So that is what we call a miracle. And then when they wanted water, he said, the rock, a boy is so if you ever. When they wanted food, manna from heaven. This is what God has done. This is what we call miracles. And then, like I said, it teaches us that before blessing, there must be holiness. Because we also need to concentrate ourselves. We need to be holy. God says about holiness all the time. In all, from Leviticus 11, 34, 45, he said, I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. He said the same thing in 1 Peter. Chapter 1 verse 16, he says, because it is written, be holy, be ye holy, for I am holy. So God wants us to be holy before we see his miracles in our lives. When we see miracles, isn't it? We want to see many people converted into our church, isn't it? And it's God's will. We must be holy. We who are preaching the word must be holy. Otherwise, we can never see the power of God. That's what the lesson is teaching us. We must be holy. You will be a hypocrite if you say you are a Christian, you follow Christ, and yet you are living with a known sin, and you are hiding it. You can never see the blessing of God. Remember when God, when somebody went to steal something, you know what happened? It affected all of them. So even if one person is in the church who calls himself a believer, living in sin, and he does not repent, it affects the whole church. So you'll be a hypocrite if you are living in sin. 1 John chapter 1 verse 6 to 10 talk about that. And if you say you are a believer and you are living in sin, you are a hypocrite. So God's people must be a separate people. We are set apart from the world. We don't do things as the world does their things. So for God to bless our labor, like I said, our labor in this community, the children we are bringing up, our tract distribution, our talk with people, for God to bless it, we must be holy and serious about God's way. Otherwise, we will never see the blessings of God. So for God to bless our labor, there must be holiness. Like I said, salvation of souls, spiritual, our church growth, all of them requires holiness. That's the lesson for a church. Now you must be holy for you to see God's wonders. Now when you go to verses, now we see Joshua's instructions to the priest. He said, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before. You see, they obeyed whatever Joshua told them. They should take over the Ark and go over or walk over to the people. He said, so now the move to the promised land has now begun. Afena, Okona Kasebi, Afena, Ombe, Ebe, Kapo, Ako, Kodusa, River. And they need somebody who will show them the way. And who is that person apart from God? And from verse 7 to 13, we see another instructions from Joshua, from God to Joshua, and then Joshua to God. And you see, One thing we have seen that before any action is taken, God affirms and then instructs Joshua. And then Joshua also instructs the people. Look at what he said from verse 7. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee. You see what he's saying? To magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priest that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. This is a serious thing. Like I said, the river was flooded. And yesterday, it's working to be Jordan, a big, mighty river. Now, as I am flooding. Now, I see, I saw for now almost soon acting on it. You see, it is not a small thing to believe that just by stepping there. But then that's what happened. When they obeyed and they stepped just at the brink of the river, the river stopped flowing. So the other side was heaped up. As we were reading, he said it went even to another town. And the one that goes to the sea, there was nothing going for 2 million people to pass through. And he said, when you have come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still. But because they obeyed, it happened. As soon as they touched the brink of the water stopped flowing. And like I said, God's exaltation of Moses takes place entirely through God's sovereign powerful act. None. It is through God. And like I said, the purpose of God's affirmation of Joshua is that they will know that I will be with you, that just as I was with Moses. So the purpose of that miracle is to show that yes, God's presence is with them. So the lesson we are learning here, we must have courage because we are Christians. We are believing God. God is directing us in our whole life, regardless of whatever we are going through. He is our leader. Just like the Ark of the Covenant was their leader. Whatever you go through, God knows it before you get there. But he says that be courageous, be obedient, be merciful, and have trust in me. So that is our lesson for today. Courage, obedience, and trust. And you might say, why all these instructions? And all the time that Joshua was giving these instructions, he has not shown them what exactly was going to happen. All he's saying is that do this and do that and do that, and God is going to perform a great wonder. They didn't know what kind of wonder until when they go to the brink of the river and they step in, and then the river stops flowing, and they have to pass through all of them. In verse 9, after God has instructed Joshua also conveyed the same message to the people. He said, Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Ejazites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passed over before you. Like I said, up to now, he had not told them what was going to happen. But he assured them that something is going to happen, and that he will let them know that the living God is among you. He's talking about the living God. Why does he say that? Because they are other gods. They are not living gods. So he tells them that their God is the living God, and that God is among them. So now he's telling them that they will know that the living God is with them, and he will see the living, the Lord of the whole earth, he goes ahead of you into the Jordan. See, so the power of God will be so evident and demonstrated so that clearly everybody will know that now God is with Joshua. So friends, this is the lesson that we learn from this passage. Courage, obedience, and trust in God. This is what we must practice as a church and as individuals. And in all our ways, God will show miracles in our life. Remember, holiness before God's blessing. Without holiness, there will be no God's blessing. So the Master has a book about Joshua. He talks much more about this. That without holiness, there will be no blessing from God. My prayer is that we will be able to be courageous, we'll be able to obey the word of God, we'll be able to have trust in God in all that we do as a church. And if we do this, our church will grow spiritually and physically. We will see the presence of God. People around will see us. And yes, God is with these people. Without that, we can never see the power of God in our lives. Let's